Hey everybody, welcome to the Ground Effect Podcast, where we dive into the heart of Formula One, bringing you the latest news, insider analysis, and sharing our thoughts on the motorsport we love. So come and join us, G and Mick, as we look forward to what promises to be an exciting 2025 Formula One season.
Formula One's crown jewel. 78 laps of the Monaco Grand Prix. That's what awaits us this Sunday. Have Red Bull managed to close the gap to McLaren? Are McLaren favourites? The new mandatory two-stop rule comes into effect this weekend. To help me dissect it, G, how you going, man?
Yeah, good, mate. Look, I'm looking forward to this weekend, despite all the doom and gloom that we're just going to get 78 laps of a procession. Perhaps we get it, maybe not. But let's see, you know, the mandatory two-stopper might just throw a little bit of and there is a little bit of bad weather potentially floating around, which might throw a nice little dynamic into it. But no, I'm looking forward to it. And obviously, I'm definitely looking forward to Saturday, the qualifying.
Like you just said, Saturday is the most important Saturday on the calendar. I think it's 14 of the last 20 races have been won from pole. No room for error. A few drivers under the pump. Like you said, maybe a bit of rain around on Saturday might spice the grid up, which make things exciting. But I think the biggest talking point is the mandatory two-stop, how teams are going to use that, you know, with safety cars or virtual safety car, the size of the pit lane, like it's narrow. You know, so can you imagine like 20-odd Formula One cars?
Yeah, 20-odd big, thick Formula One cars.
Trying to knock off one of those mandatory stops. So it's going to be interesting strategy-wise how the teams manage that mandatory two-stop. What do you make of Red Bull? Have they closed the gap?
Oh, mate, on the back of last week's effort with Max, I think, yeah, something's clicked there. Because, you know, we discussed it. We still sort of thought that if Piastri got ahead of that first corner, Max was still in with a shout. So I think the gap has definitely closed. It's just, is it track specific? That's what we sort of really need to figure out. And we'll see that on Sunday.
Red Bull's an interesting one. I do believe they've closed the gap, but we're going to a circuit that's like heavily reliant on strong traction, good aero package, traction and low speed corners. I've probably been Red Bull's Achilles heel so far this season. So be interesting to see. You know, McLaren haven't won a race since 2008.
You missed one really important thing. Big kahunas, mate.
Big kahunas. Yeah,
because there's a lot of time to be gained if you are extremely, extremely brave.
Yeah. And we know Max is brave.
And we know that. So, yeah, I mean, he for me personally, he's still my pick to nab the pole. And to, I mean, win from that position. But yeah, I think Red Bull are looking pretty. I think from last week, they've made a nice little step up. And I think it's going to be a lot close. Well, I mean, look, it's been close pretty much the whole season between Red Bull and McLaren. But I don't think McLaren are going to have it as easy. They haven't had it easy, but, you know, as easy as it has been before.
I think for me, McLaren are the favourites. I think Red Bull might struggle just a little bit. Like I said, with the traction and the low-speed corners, big kahunas. Well, Max has got a big set of Franz Hermans. So
big set of Franz. That's good. I like it.
So if anyone's going to do it, it'll be Max. On the other side of the garage, pressure. Big pressure. You're at a circuit now where you can't be an inch wrong. You've got to be centimeter perfect. You've got to have full confidence in what you're doing.
And look, we know Yuki hasn't got full confidence in that car yet.
No, exactly. So to try and maybe extract the maximum, he's probably going to struggle.
Well, this is the thing. He's got to find that balance, right? Because we know it's a circuit that hurts. Like you said, centimeter wrong, you're done for. And unfortunately for Yuki, he comes into this weekend off, obviously, the massive accident in Imola. But he's had a few shunts, right? So he needs a clean weekend. But at the same time, he's also trying to prove that he's able to close that gap down with Max. So I think this is actually the trickiest race for Yuki. Because I'm telling you, the drums are starting to beat for Hadjar. There's a lot of chatter going around with Hadjar, seeing him as the next natural progression from, you know, the great job he's done. We've talked about they need to give Yuki the rest of the season, but we saw Lawson get two races. Yuki's in the hot seat now, hasn't set the world on fire. If he doesn't get Monaco out of the way clean and Barcelona, we go on to the break. Mate, that chatter amongst the Hadjar-Tsunoda swap, I think, is only just going to exponentially take off.
I don't think if Yuki doesn't get himself sorted, he won't be there after the summer break. I'll put a 50 on it.
I double it, put 100 on it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So the pressure's on. And what about McLaren? What do you think of their chances?
Podium for sure. Like, naturally, I'm thinking Max has got this, but it's not, for me, it's not Max has got this in the bag. McLaren are there. Lando, is probably under a little bit of pressure because he needs to get Saturday right. And he hasn't for some time now. And again, like we just said, this Saturday is super important, but it will bite you in the ass super hard if you don't get it right. So I think Piastri will just go on as Piastri does. Just Piastri things, you know, just calm, collective. He'll do the job on Saturday, I believe. Lando, a little bit of pressure on him. He's fast enough. Look, he's fast enough to get pole. We know that.
He can't be off because the ramifications of being off. Like if he starts in fourth again and Oscar's on pole, you know, so the chance of you losing big points this weekend is a greater possibility than probably anywhere for the rest of the season. You can't really use your pace advantage like you can at other circuits. Saturday is super important for Lando.
Got to be faultless. One mistake, cooked.
Yeah, but I think if he can do it, I think you'll see a big shift in Lando for the rest of the season.
Yeah, true, because he seems to be very much, we know that his emotions sort of ebb and flow on performance. Like he's very hard on himself. And I think if he nails Monaco, I mean, which is the toughest Saturday really on the calendar, if he gets that right, I think it'll obviously give him a massive boost of confidence going forward.
For me, yeah, Oscar's probably my favorite for the win. And Max is just going to make it hard for both of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see Piastri get the win. You know, we've been pretty lucky as Aussie fans because we had Ricciardo. There was the bomb chance, wasn't there? And then the redemption drive. Was it the following year that he...
Yeah, I think it was the following year.
Yeah, where he had the engine or the power unit problem and he was able to keep... I think it was Hamilton behind.
Yeah, Lewis behind, yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't been too long of a wait for Aussie fans to have a winner at Monaco, thankfully. But yeah, Piastri's still definitely in a shout.
It's probably the best chance since their last win in 2008.
Yeah, they'll love to get that monkey off the back and win Monaco, which is obviously very prestigious.
Yeah, exactly. Ferrari, how are we looking? What do we reckon?
Obviously, it was a mixed bag at Imola. Race pace, they came through relatively well. We're not going to see any big upgrades from them until Barcelona, which makes sense. Leclerc, obviously, hometown hero. He got that monkey off his back last year with a brilliant win. So maybe, you know, based on that, he can go into this weekend a lot more relaxed. That's all been done and dusted. Look, I don't see them troubling the top step. Perhaps, you know, sneaky podium if a little bit of luck goes their way. But yeah, let's see. Maybe perhaps a slow, what do you think? A slower track? Do you think it suits the Ferrari car a little bit better?
Yeah, low speed corners, and they seem to have good torque traction. I think it gives them a little bit of an edge there over maybe, you know, the rest of the field. They've got strong engine braking as well. But yeah, I think Leclerc, if anyone's going to snag a podium from McLaren or Red Bull, I think it might be Leclerc's weekend. I just don't think Lewis is quite comfortable enough with the car just yet to maybe maximize every last inch of that, you know, performance out of the car. Like you said, it's a game of millimeters in Monaco. You've got to be super confident. If you don't have that confidence, you're just probably going to struggle.
Will be interesting if they got on top of the brake issue, because obviously that was a big thing with Imola, not necessarily during the race, but, you know, on practice, qualifying, etc. And we know that you've got to be confident on the brakes in Monaco as well. So yeah, hopefully they've got on top of that one. And they, you know, there's some progression this weekend. Yeah, I think out of the two, look, we can't discount Hamilton. He's a three-time winner there. But I think Leclerc just, you know, he's just got a little bit more confidence in that car at this stage of the season.
Mercedes, they had a shocker last weekend. Reckon they'll bounce back. I mean, the cooler conditions you would think, well, according to Mercedes themselves, the hotter conditions, they seem to struggle. I think the cooler conditions, we'll definitely see a better showing for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Russell will look to want to bounce back. P7 last week, which would have been disappointing for him. I think a little bit of pressure's on Kimi because last weekend was quite disappointing for the hometown boy. So he'll be looking to bounce back. And again, you know, that's a high pressure track, right? You know, if you want to eke as much time out of it, you got to get close to the wall. So big pressure on the young lad, I think. Russell will have the edge this weekend over Antonelli. But, you know, I expect Mercedes to do relatively well. I don't see them challenging Red Bull and McLaren, of course, but a little bit of luck goes their way. They're in with a sniff.
All the rookies, man, it's going to be a massive challenge. F2 and F3 race there. So they have got experience, but you're in a Formula One car, which is a completely different beast. And I mean, Kimi's already come out and admitted that it got a little bit overwhelming for him last weekend. He sort of just didn't take time for himself to refocus and gather himself and sort of let the emotion get the better of him. So I think this weekend, away from all that, he's definitely going to be better for it.
I think not having Toto there last week was detrimental to Kimi. Toto's just got that sort of real calming influence and, you know, really smart about, I think, the psychological side of his drivers. So I think not having him there that, like, last week was probably a little bit detrimental. So I don't think the pressure's on Kimi where it's like, oh, my long-term future is tied up in this race. like other drivers.
Yeah, he's not in Yuki's position. He's not under that pressure. And that, from that perspective, that's good for him. What a clean, solid weekend. I think Mercedes will be big bag of points again. Speaking of double points, Williams, best of the rest.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, they've been doing really well this season, and inter-team battle, I think, is really starting to heat up between Albon and Sainz. I think Carlos is getting on top of that car now, sort of at that point now where I think it's, you know, much more confident and calm behind the wheel. So yeah, it'll be interesting for Williams to see what they can extract this weekend, because I still believe they're sort of like the dark horse as far as the progression of performance that's going to come from them over 2025.
They'll be in the points for sure. You know, we know that Williams is slippery in a straight line. How good they'll be this weekend, we'll sort of wait and find out. But yeah, the whole Albon Sainz thing, I mean, it's elevated Albon to a whole nother level. And I think that'll continue this weekend. Now, Colapinto.
I know.
I probably shouldn't say that, but Colapinto.
I saw the awkward silence. I knew exactly where this was going.
I shouldn't say it. There's been a lot of hate on social media.
Oh, mate, the whole social media stuff between fans, like there's been multiple sort of eras of just ridiculousness on social media.
Yeah, well, if you got nothing nice to say, you don't say anything. Like, really? Like, nobody's walked in these guys' shoes. Every single person that gets in a Formula One car deserves to be in there. They've worked their ass off to get there. So just because one driver makes a mistake and it affects your favorite driver,
yeah, you know,
it's a bit shit happens, man. Get over it.
I mean, I've definitely noticed a trend, particularly since, you know, Abu Dhabi 2021, the whole Max Hamilton situation. Let's not delve into that. It's been beaten to death. But I've just sort of noticed that from that sort of point, fans are starting to get a little tribal behind their drivers. We love our drivers, mate. Like, you know, we love Piastri. You know, we're big fans of Doohan. We want to see him do well. We were gutted that he was demoted. But at no point do I, you know, look at Franco and blame him for Doohan's demotion.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like,
it's not his fault.
I'm pissed off with Briatore making the decision.
Yeah.
But I don't hold any grudges against Franco. Like, as far as I can see, I want Franco to do well. Likewise with Liam. Like, you know, I'm a massive Liam fan, Lawson fan, right? So when Yuki got when they made the change, yeah, I was gutted, but I didn't look at Yuki and go, oh, I want Yuki to absolutely fail miserably here.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. Exactly,
you know,
right.
It's just this tribalism of getting behind your fans. You know, you see it in football. This isn't football, all right? This is like Formula One. Like, I don't want to see that shit, Formula One.
It's great that we've got so many eyes on the sport now. And I just think, yeah, if you don't have anything nice to say and you don't know these people, you have no right to say anything. You have a right to an opinion, but you don't have a right to attack someone.
Well, I've always thought to myself, say stuff that you're willing to say
to their face. Yes.
All right? Don't say it behind a screen and keyboard and act all tough guy or whatever. Because if you want to really say that, you know, make sure that it's something you would actually say to their face. But, you know, look, this is the thing, social media, it's the double-edged sword of, I think most sports have been going through this for a while. It will rear its ugly head again.
After that rant, let's move on. He's under pressure, the young fella, on the back foot from last weekend. He's probably gonna struggle a little bit this weekend. He just needs all three practice sessions, relatively strong qualifying, get the most out of the car that you can get. Be close to Gasly, because I think Gasly will have the edge. And that's all he can do. And I think from a confidence standpoint, man, it's your second race in, like, whew, you've got to jump into Monaco. That's hectic, man.
I think he missed a trip with Imola. I really think he should have just drove within himself. I don't think he should have gone into that Imola Grand Prix with, like, something to prove. You know, I'm going to try and outperform Gasly, or I'm going to try and out-qualify him, beat him in the race. I think he just needed Imola as the banker because, you know, there's always been a little bit of chatter around that he's a bit too crash-happy. From, you know, the results at the end of his tenure last season. He just needed that banker. Now he's put himself in a really tough position because you're right. Like, you don't want to go into Monaco with that type of pressure on you because it is the track that bites and bites hard. So, yeah, tough one for him. I think he just needs to reset, forget last week, treat Monaco as now the banker, and don't worry about what Gasly does. Just drive within yourself, get this weekend over, done and dusted, and then focus on Barcelona.
The Alpine overall, points, no points?
You know, they show glimpses, like Gasly has been showing glimpses of pace in, you know, a few practice sessions, a few qualifying sessions. But realistically, when you look at the race results, it hasn't really been that great. You know, I think it'll be a pretty good effort if one of those cars cracks a top 10.
Yep. No, I agree. Another driver under a little bit of pressure, your man, Lawson, his teammate, has probably now got a lot more added pressure that he probably didn't want.
Yeah, it's funny that, eh? Like, you can become a victim of your own success because then the expectations rise another level. And now because of the chatter with the Red Bull seat and Yuki not really performing really well, there is probably a little bit of layer of complexity and things are probably starting to rise a little bit from a pressure point of view for Hadjar. You know, we've seen his exploits in F2, you know, on the radio, losing his cool. And he's had a couple of moments in F1, but he's been quite level-headed. And I think he'll go well this week because he's got that one-lap pace. And I think Monaco will show that more than other tracks, as long as he doesn't make a mistake, of course.
Monaco's going to show everybody's weaknesses, every car's weaknesses. Qualifying is Hadjar's wheelhouse at the moment, and then that just sets him up for, you know, a good race the following day. Like you said, victim of your own success. Now, with the chatter starting to get louder and louder, you just constant comparison between him and Yuki, constantly now. From now until, I believe, the summer break, when he takes Yuki's position, if Yuki can't get his shit sorted.
From Liam's side of the garage, he needs some luck on Saturday. That's really been the main problem. He needs something to go his way because I don't think he's been as bad from a pace perspective as what a lot of people are sort of making out to be. But he definitely does need to start to show, you know, what made him, what got like Red Bull excited about him in the first place when he replaced Ricciardo. And that's really the key. And another clean weekend will be extremely important as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just super hard when you've got Hadjar's just smashing it at the moment. I think, well, your banker lap this weekend is probably going to be super, super important. You go to push a little bit extra on that second run.
Chances of a red flag, yellow flag in qualifying is extremely high, right? So when you get out, it's like that banker lap needs to be pretty decent, especially if there is a little bit of rain that comes on Saturday.
And with the C6?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that C6 handles this week, as opposed to last week. Because it seemed that, yeah, last week it just didn't hang on.
In some cases, didn't even hang on for the whole lap. The C6 again will be purely just a qualifying tyre. I think you'll see the medium and the hards, the predominant race tyres, unless someone pits super late and then puts that soft tyre on. But yeah, back to Liam. Just keep it off the walls. The gap's not that far, but...
Yeah, it's not very far. It's not far at all. So
It's just the midfield is so tight. That little gap seems a lot bigger because you're going from P6 and you're half, not even, you know, 3-4 tenths off and you're down to 15th, 16th.
Yeah, like I said, if you got rid of Red Bull and McLaren, it's pretty tight between the rest, eh? So,
well, Saturday's going to be awesome. Again, if the rain's there, it's going to just be even more spicy. But speaking of spicy, Aston Martin.
It looks like the upgrades that they bought last week were pretty substantial from a performance perspective. It'll be really interesting to see how it all pans out for this week. They could be a little bit of a dark horse for, you know, getting the drivers up into points positions this week. And naturally, Fernando, still stuck on the big zero, would love to get a good result.
Stroll's pretty handy around street circuits too. So, I mean, if they can get somewhere close to where they were last weekend, I mean, there's no reason they couldn't
get double points here.
Man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I think they're definitely going to be ahead of Alpine. It's probably going to be tight between them and Racing Bulls. Either one of those two are going to be in line for points. Newey's there this weekend too. Aston Martin are an interesting one. With all of the teams, the following weekend in Barcelona is when we're going to get a true read, probably where everyone is really at.
Yeah, from an upgrade perspective for sure. But it'll be also interesting, the front wing flex, that all sort of... that new regulation comes in, so that'll be interesting too.
Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
The pendulum swings.
The pendulum swings. Haas, what do we reckon this weekend?
Mate, they're in for a top 10 only because last week was absolutely ridiculously bad. I just don't know what you're going to get with them. Hey, I mean, yeah, they're just there sometimes and not other times. So look, I think based on last week, I don't think there's going to be much from them this week. I just think at this low-speed circuit, I have a feeling they're not there.
Yeah, and you know, you look at someone like Behrman, whose Achilles heel has probably been qualifying this year. I'm not expecting great things.
I think for them, they need to ride some luck off other people's bad luck for them to nab a point, sort of nab a top 10. So I think maybe they're going to come out with a rain dance, try and get the rain on Saturday, Sunday. Who knows? But yeah, I don't see them factoring. Sorry, Haas fans. I know you're out there.
And I guess that just leaves one team. We always leave them till last.
we always kick them to the bottom of the pile.
Come on, man. Terrible. It's a good one. Yeah, Stake. I mean, man, they made a pretty decent performance gain last weekend. Again, low speed circuit, tight, twisty. It's probably not. Well, it might suit them.
I'm still waiting for a Hülkenberg podium. And what better for a script writer to come up with that script, Hülkenberg P3, Monaco 2025.
It'd be amazing. It'd be amazing to get Hulk up on the podium, but I don't think so.
I mean, look, we were getting pretty excited with Hulk last week. Maybe nabbing a P10 wasn't to be. Stake just, again, like Haas, I just think they need to ride luck to pick up points, much like the whole season has been. Unless we get some sort of massive sort of accident, crazy strategy, as far as I'm concerned, poor old Stake is going to be the team we talk about last.
Yeah, no, I agree. But it was nice to see them make a little performance gain last weekend. So hopefully they can translate that again into this weekend and just closing that gap. I think, yeah, your bottom dwellers are going to be Haas or Stake again.
Well, someone needs to win the back end, right? So unfortunately, that's the way it goes in a sport like Formula One. But yeah, I agree with you. Haas and Stake battling for the wooden spoon.
All right, well, that's all the teams. So I guess there's only one thing left. Predictions, young sir.
I'm terrible with predictions. I'm predicting Lawson to pick up a point this week. I'm smoking my hopium, okay? No, I really think he's got a performance coming at some point. I really hope it's this week because I just, you know, the pressure's on him. But I really do think from a serious point of view, I think this is going to be Max's weekend. I have a feeling there's something brewing in Red Bull. I've got on top of something from last week. And I think it's so basically P1, Max, Piastri, and Leclerc.
And Leclerc. It's not a bad shout. I'm probably going to go, I could almost agree with you, but just flip Piastri and Verstappen. Norris, I don't think he's quite there yet on a Saturday. So I'm going to say Leclerc as well. And if it's not Leclerc, it's going to be Russell.
Mr. Saturday's moving on to Mr. Sunday. Yeah, I mean, who's sort of like the dark horse? Who's the driver that you think is going to like outperform the machinery?
Outperform the machinery? I'm going to say Alonso. He's due. They seem to have found something. Hopefully, you know, that they can bring that to Monaco.
I think that's a pretty good shout. I'm going to stick with Liam Lawson.
You're going to stick with Liam Lawson? Yeah. Top 10?
The bias.
Well, I mean, look, man. It is one of those races where anything can happen. And now you've thrown in the mandatory two stops. I'm kind of hoping we don't get a VSC or a safety car and we let the race play out. In doing that, yes, you're probably going to be, you know, the train. But I want to see how these teams use this two stop.
They'll probably stop basically all at the same time. The train will continue. And we'll all be complaining on social media about how ridiculous a two-stop strategy was and Monaco needs to be booted off the circuit.
Yeah, look, I mean, racing-wise, it doesn't matter when you like what tyre you're on because you're probably not going to be able to pass anyway. Your tyre choice is probably not going to make a massive amount of difference. The only thing that will change is who can run longer and you know, how long your stints are. But, it's just interesting to see. Are we going to see teams stop early? We're going to see teams run long? And then a real a pit stop with five laps to go. We don't know because we've never had a two stop apart from, you know, when it rains. So
purely entertainment.
Yeah. Well, this is a strategic thing to try and open strategic options. It's not going to improve the racing. It's physically impossible to improve the racing there. All your overtaking is done in pit lane. Have to wait and see how it's going to pan out. But I guess we'll be back on Sunday with the review and we'll talk about
how exciting the 2025 Monaco race was. The best ever.
We can dissect
optimism.
How long the train is. So until then, we'll catch you in the next one.
Peace.